Safety Committee comes to order at 6:10. The first order of business is acceptance of minutes from committee meeting held on February 5th. Do we have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain. The next item is PCR 2424, resolution relative to claims. First item on that is acceptance of minutes from committee meeting held on December 4th, 2023.
Okay.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
First item, first claim is Betty Belmore. I asked the liaison to forward out to all the members the letter from Eric Earl explaining the change in recommendation and why, because of the claimant had reached out in a timely manner, and it was just getting the forms back and forth via mail. So any questions from the committee? Any questions from the council? Any questions from the public? The recommendation is to approve. Do we have a motion?
Move to approve in the amount of $300.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. I just want to make sure I didn't mess up my order. Excuse me one second, gentlemen. Amy, all right, the second claim is by Amy Chauvin. The recommendation is to approve. Any questions from the committee? Councilman Ricks.
So I reviewed this one, and one thing that stood out to me is that the difference in the price of these tires is something like $7 or $8, but we're seeing a large difference between the amount of the invoice and the amount of the estimates, because on the estimates, we're only looking at the cost of the tire, as at least as stated on the agenda. It does appear that in at least one of the estimates, there does seem to be a quote of installation of $20 per tire. $20 for that tire is what was in fact paid on that invoice for the installation. The estimates also did not factor in the 7% sales tax, and then they didn't factor in the $3.50 for the old tire disposal charge. So what I did was take, oh, and one other item on the invoice was that there is a warranty on the tire. City of Warwick isn't responsible for paying that warranty, in my opinion. So taking a look at the lowest estimate, adding 7% for sales tax, then adding these last two amounts not subject to sales tax, $20 for installation and $3.50 for disposal of the old tire, I get the number $193.62, as opposed to that lowest estimate of $158.99, still lower than the invoice of $231.29. So at the appropriate time, I would intend, after comment, to move in the amount of $193.62.
Thank you. Any questions from the council? Any questions from the public? So do we have a motion?
Yes. Move favorable action in the amount of $193.62.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
The next is Matthew Cloutier, and the amount is to approve in the amount of $300. Any questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Questions from the public? Do we have a motion?
Move to approve, $300.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next is Linda Costa. Again, a recommendation to approve. Any questions from the committee, council, public? All in, motion?
To approve, $300.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Joe DeMeo. Any questions from the committee? I do. The recommendation is for $300, but the low estimate is $279.99. We'll address that with a motion, maybe. I'll get that to you. All right. You do a little research while we're sitting here. Any questions from the council? From the public? I'm waiting for my colleague to assist me. It might be the same situation.
Pardon me one moment.
Yep. Because I don't think the Bridgestone did the same thing. I think they did the same thing. Nothing got added in but the tire. Yeah, see, that's just a tire price.
Yeah, thank you.
So do we have a motion?
Right. Based on reviewing the documents briefly, it appears that that low estimate of slightly under $300 is not accounting for the sales tax disposal. So just those two items alone would push it up over the maximum of $300. Therefore, I would move to approve in the amount of $300.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Just keeping my notes. Randy Miller. Again, the motion is to approve. We have the same situation, though. But do any comments from the committee? From the council? From the public? Do we have a motion?
Move to approve, $300.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Why am I short? Oh, I know why. Shoot. All right, the next one is Colleen Moretti. Any questions from the committee? Comments from the council? Comments from the public? I would like a moment here for a second. I looked at this and I'm not, I had to refresh my memory. They printed front to back. That's what's throwing me off here. Town Fair. Yeah. My understanding is the Town Fair tire invoice is what was paid by the claimant, and it incorporates the alignment, the sensors, and all the other bells and whistles. So that came to $345.73, but that's why the max is $300, and that's why that's what the recommendation is. So I'm making a recommendation to approve in the amount of $300. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The last one is David Pickering. I reached out to Director Earl. One of the things that jumped out at me was the timeline, but that was explained because it was so involved and there were so many pieces and steps, and eventually it got done, and it was the city's responsibility. Any questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Questions from the public? Seeing none. Oh, question.
I'll just briefly comment that I also reviewed this, and I'd like to thank you for doing the due diligence, asking those questions of the department head. I'll let you finish before I make any motion.
I'm done.
Thank you. In that case, move to approve in the amount of $1,950.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
That concludes the Public Safety Committee at 6:20.
It is now 6:22 p.m. and the Intergovernmental Committee is now in session. The first order of business is the acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on January 3rd, 2024. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
You have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The first item on the agenda is PCR 7-24, a resolution requesting the General Assembly to enact legislation amending state law to provide the mayor of the city of Warwick with an appointment to the Rhode Island Airport Corporation Board of Directors. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I believe that this is a very important piece. As we know, the city of Warwick and the middle of our city, we have the airport here, and it affects every part of our city. And there is a board that oversees it. And I think it's critical that a Warwick representative is on that board. Now, when this first came, we did some research on this. There was always a Warwick representative, someone who lives in Warwick, which I think is very important. And we haven't had that in a long time. So what this would do, this would authorize the mayor of the city of Warwick to nominate somebody from the city of Warwick that lives in Warwick, so understands the impact that this has on here. So I am asking my colleagues to support this. Mayor Picozzi supports this. His chief is here as well. I know Chairman Howe is a sponsor of this as well. He talked to the mayor extensively on this. This is a very important board that has huge decision-making authority. And to not have someone from the city of Warwick on that is a detriment to our city. So we need to have someone that can speak for us on that board. They deal with the FAA, they deal with the state, and they deal with the city. So let's put someone on that can represent the citizens of Warwick, someone that is impacted every day, just like everyone here. You wake up, we hear the planes, you go to bed, you hear the planes, you know, everything that goes along, good and bad, with the airport. So I ask all my colleagues this evening to support this. And I know the chief of staff is here and Chairman Howe is a sponsor as well. We'd love to get other co-sponsors as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Chief, do you have a comment on this?
Sure, Chairman. Thank you. Aaron McAsey, Mayor's chief of staff. The mayor is just requesting the entire council support for this item tonight. It's a vitally important issue. As you know, we've had several matters come before the city vis-a-vis the Rhode Island Airport Corporation that the mayor has been engaging with the board and the chairman of that board and the executive director to get resolution for the residents of Warwick on. While the mayor's been able to raise his voice both to that board, to the governor, to other statewide leaders to get the best deal possible for Warwick, what the city doesn't have at its disposal is a member, is a Warwick resident on that board. As the legislation before you indicates, previously 1991, 1992 through 2011, the mayor of the city of Warwick had an appointment to this board, which was taken away through General Assembly legislation in 2011. So really what we're seeking is just a re-implementation of the previous status quo to allow the mayor to make an appointment and by that way have somebody who will be able to have bring Warwick's voice to that board with all vital issues that come before them. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Any questions or comments from the committee?
I would just like to be added as co-sponsor.
Okay. Anyone else on the council like that?
I'd like to be added, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I think everyone on the council would like to be added as a sponsor. Any questions or comments from the committee? From the committee. Any questions or comments from the council? Mr. Howe?
Thank you, Chairman. Just to reiterate what the president said to the chief, this is a good addition as it simply adds not only a voice of Warwick, but the human aspect. That is no harmful wording meant towards RIAC. They have a business to run. They have to look at a bottom line as well as the productivity of an airport. But it is the city of Warwick that is affected by the growth and the operations of the airport. So to have a citizen on that board to represent the city and their neighbors within the city of Warwick adds that human touch. And I think that's what needs to be put back into the RIAC board. So I want to thank the council president. I want to thank the administration and my colleagues for graciously stepping up and co-sponsoring this. Thank you, Chairman.
Councilman Lattison.
Thank you, Chairman. Chief, how many people currently serve on this board?
I believe it's a 7-member board, if I'm correct. Either 7 or 9, but I believe it's 7.
And do you know where do the 7 members live? Where do they work? Do we know anything about those 7
members?
Sure.
So, sorry to jump on the tail end of your question there. The 7-member board, their names as well as biographical information on them is available on RIAC's website. But to answer what I believe your question really is, as there's no rhyme or reason when it comes to the requirements of their residency. They are appointees of the governor with advice and consent of the Senate. For instance, one member of their board is a former mayor of Cranston. It's not based on residency other than being a Rhode Islander.
So will this board remain a 7-member board, assuming the General Assembly supports our request and the mayor gets an appointment to the board? Does this board remain a 7-member board with the mayor's appointment, or is this going to have to go to a 9-person board?
My understanding of the legislation that's been introduced by Representative McNamara up at the State House is that it would remain a 7-member board. Obviously, that might go through some changes and edits when it gets to the legislative process up there. But as it's written now, remain as a 7-member board.
Well, I signed on to it as a co-sponsor because I think it's a great idea. I think we should have more than one person, seeing as Warwick owns it all.
We would agree.
The other issue is that this airport corporation, from our perspective, Warwick's perspective, essentially has gone unchecked, because we haven't had a person on that board. There's a big difference between hearing and reading minutes of a meeting than having someone sitting at the table delivering what the real message is. And I think it's a great move on the mayor's part to push this forward. And I certainly would love to see something coming before us at some point to maybe tweak this a little bit more. But on this one, Chief, we agree.
Thank you, Councilman. I know the mayor is very, very grateful for Representative McNamara up at the State House for putting in this legislation. You know, obviously, representing the city of Warwick, we'd rather see, you know, all 7 or certainly more than 1 on the board. But in this instance, we will certainly take the representation that we can get.
Thank you. Any other questions from the council? Any other questions or comments from the public?
Good evening, Sergeant James Torres, U.S. Army retired, 4080 Pulse Road. I don't want to word this wrong. I plan on running for mayor next election cycle, but I would like try to be on this board if it's possible for the airport. I was advised not to join any mayor-appointed committees. Oh, I'm sorry. I was advised not to join any mayor-appointed committees if I'm going to try to run for mayor. But I think this is very important for the city of Warwick, and I would like to be considered for that position. Where would I apply for this?
Sure. So as the legislation not be enacted by the General Assembly yet, there is no process by which the mayor would solicit recommendations of individuals for the board. But it's the mayor's practice to post both on the city website and on his Facebook. to anybody who's interested in joining boards and commissions. So at such a time that the General Assembly acts on the legislation, I would say just be on the lookout for that.
Roger. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
The second item on the agenda is PCR 20-24, a resolution requesting the General Assembly to enact legislation exempting from taxation the real property and the tangible personal property of the Rhode Island Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Councilman Sanapi.
So this is similar to the effort regarding the Center for Mediation, and obviously the organization in question speaks for itself. The executive director is here too to address any questions you may have. And obviously I'd urge passage.
Any questions from the committee?
I'd be like be added as a co-sponsor, please.
Absolutely.
Okay. I would also, anyone else from the council? Oh, any other comments from the council? Councilman Gebhardt.
Thank you. I'll repeat, I think some of the comments I made the last time we heard an item such as this. I think last time I raised that, you know, there was concern that, you know, we'd see more nonprofit entities come before us. I think the point of this action is not to debate the merits of the work that any of these nonprofits do. It's all exemplary and exceptional. But as was pointed out previously, the properties in question are owned by private landholders and private entities. In most cases, I'm not sure the exact arrangement here. But, you know, we run the risk of continuing to erode the property tax base by allowing these exemptions. So I remain opposed. Thank you.
Any other questions from the council?
Thank you. This is something where on a similar item that was before the council last year, I did vote in favor. This is also something where I can see the merits of Councilman Gebhardt's position. And naturally, this organization serves the state as a whole. So while I am undecided at this time, I want to hear from the organization, hear from members of the public, hear comments from the rest of the council. I did want to express that as we continue to see more organizations come forward, that similar thought is occurring to me that there should be a certain point at which the city and city council would need to draw a line, perhaps establish some more particular criteria as to the nonprofits that we would or wouldn't tend to offer these types of exemptions to. I do have one question for the city council solicitor. So this resolution, it would seek to exempt real property as well as the tangible property. Would it be possible to exempt the tangible property without exempting the real property? That is the tangible property owned by the nonprofit organization without necessarily exempting the real property owned by the private party.
Thank you, Councilman. The resolution before you this evening is a request of the Assembly to grant certain exemptions. So it is in the discretion of you to what we are asking the legislature to do or not do. I would note, however, that last year the General Assembly did enact a tangible tax reform, which exempts for all taxpayers with reimbursement to the municipalities All businesses are now exempt up to $50,000 in the taxable level. So it may not be, it may be moot to take any other action dividing it from what we're doing. But without knowing the exact circumstances of this or any other nonprofit that comes before us, that exemption level is now going to be flowing through with reimbursements to the municipalities for the lost tangible revenue. So relief for businesses, but holding the municipalities compensated.
Thank you. And similarly, in their presentation, that would be something that I would be curious about, whether the tangible property may exceed $50,000 or if it is unlikely to exceed $50,000 currently or otherwise in the near future. Thank you.
Any other questions? Councilman Lattison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. while I'm not going to take a position, yay and nay, on this right at this moment, in the interest of full disclosure, several years ago, actually more than several years ago, I was involved with the capital fundraising campaign for Elizabeth Buffum Chase House, which is part of this organization. And I also served on the board of directors of Elizabeth Buffum Chase House for, I think it was several years. But that does not prohibit or preclude me from making an informed, intelligent, rational decision on this legislation. I do share concerns with the rippling effect of this, as Councilman Gebhardt alluded to. And I recall going back to when I first got on the council and was serving with Councilwoman Vella Wilkinson, who was the finance chair at the time. She had actually put together a committee to review the impacts of some of the exempt properties from various nonprofits. And it came up more than once about the situation that exists in the city of Providence, where I think it's just under or just over, but it's a huge amount of their real estate is tax exempt because of a nonprofit entity having so much other properties that they own throughout the city tax exempt. And we have a lot of nonprofits here in the city. And as Councilman Gebhardt stated, I certainly have a tremendous respect and a high regard for what the Coalition Against Domestic Violence not only stands for, but what they do on a daily basis. But for me, I have to make decisions based upon what I think is in the best interests of everyone that I represent, not just directly in my ward, but throughout the city. And I do have a concern about the rippling effect of providing an exemption for a specific nonprofit and how that could impact the other nonprofits throughout the city. And I also have a concern that I don't believe that I've seen a fiscal note on this item either. But here again, there's oftentimes documents that I don't get in my binder. So if someone has a fiscal note, I would really like to see it. But I think that's very important for us to have not only what this could, how this could impact the city of Warwick, but if this were something that were expanded on, how would that impact the city of Warwick? And at the end of the day, how would it impact the 83,000 people that we represent? How would it impact them? And I don't know what the answer is to that. But to me, I think that's something that would be very important to know. So with that said, as Councilman Rick said, I'm going to kind of stand by, hear what my other colleagues have to say on this item, as well as members of the public or from the coalition themselves, and see where it goes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I kind of have similar concerns as my colleagues have brought up. I do not think that City Council wants to be in the business of deciding which nonprofits is going to get it and which is not. And there's no one is debating this organization or any other nonprofits that would come. We understand they have bills to pay and stuff like that. So every nonprofit is that. If we start this, we're going to see more and more. So I'm interested to hear. I know that there's residents that are here to speak on this, and I know the coalition themselves. I don't think any of us have any questions or any dispute about the great work that this organization does. Clearly, we want to support them in as many ways as possible. I do think a fiscal note is important to see on that. So, you know, we can talk about that more, you know, in the committee or in the full council on if we want to move forward or if maybe we want to take a pause and do some more work on this and see who else may be eligible and the fiscal impact that could have as well. We might want to come up with some type of criteria or policy or anything like that. But I think the important thing is, you know, no one is disputing the organization itself. We're just talking about the workings of the government and taxation as a whole and how that goes through. I think that's what we're discussing this evening. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Sinapi, did you want to say something?
Yeah, just a reminder on some of the stuff that we discussed at the last time we had one of these. Well, the only other time we had one of these. The impact for one organization is minimal. Obviously, it is not wrong at all to point out that others might come forward. The calculus that Neil pointed out early on for the prior organization is still a good one to keep in mind, where it's you have to factor in the services they provided the community, the value thereof, as compared to the value in taxes lost. That's why all you've seen from me is the Center for Mediation, given what they provide. It's a clear and obvious value. It's not really hard to deduce. Same with this entity. It's not complicated. They help thousands, Warwick residents included. And we're talking about services that might not otherwise be available for free, and therefore residents would be paying for it. And if that's the exact sort of thing we're trying to avoid, with the impact being so minimal for one entity to be tax exempt in this way, it's kind of a no-brainer. However, that doesn't mean that the concerns as far as of floodgates and whatnot are invalid. Far from it. I do think we have to be rather discerning when it comes to the entities that request. I'd be more than happy to discuss and even put forth, as far as requirements, actual criteria besides just the general calculus that Neil suggested early on. Fine with it. I'd also be happy to request the state to implement one too. Whatever works. I would caution as far as forestalling this particular entity, just because it would be rather arbitrary, given that we didn't put a block on any further ones after the Center for Mediation, so we could come up with the right criteria. We didn't put that on hold until we could, and there was no discussion thereof to require such. So I don't agree with the prospect of suddenly doing that here. While, again, still not a bad idea as a general prospect, doesn't seem fair to implement here and now, as opposed to, okay, if this entity is approved, now from now on, we basically put all other potential ones on hold until we come up with criteria. Fine. That's not arbitrary. That's fair, because we cut it off for everybody. And obviously, if people want demonstration of the benefit to the community, the executive directors here can provide comments accordingly.
All set. Any questions or comments from the council? Questions or comments from the public? Is anyone here from the coalition?
Good evening, and thank you, Chairman and members of City Council, for allowing me to speak this evening in support of this resolution. My name is Lucy Rios. I'm the Executive Director of the Rhode Island Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and I appreciate all the comments about our organization. It's great to know that the community knows how we support survivors of domestic violence across the state. And as has been mentioned, we are made up of 10 member agencies, one of which is Elizabeth Bithlum Chase, based right here in Warwick. The city of Warwick has been our home base since 1999. And it's really important for us to stay in Warwick because we have member agencies spread across the state. We provide a lot of training and technical assistance to our member agencies and to the general public. So being centrally located is one of the key criteria that our organization looks at to make sure that people can get to us and not have to drive more than 20, 25 minutes to a meeting. So I want to say that for the last 25 years, this is the first time that our organization received a bill, a tax bill from the city of Warwick. So we have not been receiving or paying taxes in the city as we've been operating here. And the reason for that was because we moved. We did move locations. So we were on Post Road, now we're on Bald Hill. And when we moved, we were looking for a little bit of a larger space so that we did not have to go to like libraries or different places for like larger gatherings, especially for our trainings. So we wanted a space that could accommodate our advocates and the public that attend some of our trainings more easily. And so we did, and the question that was asked around, you know, will we exceed the $50,000? We will, because it won't depreciate that quickly. And we did purchase with the move a lot of furniture. And especially training equipment. So from monitors to, you know, sound system, things like that. So I do believe that we will be above the 50,000 next year. So I wanted to just address that and start there. I took notes on some of the questions that were being posed, but please, I welcome additional questions. I also want to say that in terms of the benefits, it's already been said that we serve thousands of survivors of domestic violence across the state, including in the city of Warwick, which is true. Our member agencies are that provide those comprehensive services, and they range from residential to counseling to support groups to assistance for survivors that are going before the court, whether there is a criminal case being heard and they need support understanding how to navigate that system, or if they're going before the court to request an order of protection. We have advocates based in every courthouse in the state to provide that level of support, in addition to a 24-hour helpline that's a partnership between us, one of our member agencies, Blackstone Valley Advocacy Center, and Day One, the sexual assault organization for the state. And what's unique about that helpline feature that I think is important for folks to understand, that it's not just a 24-hour helpline. You can also reach us through an online text chat. But most importantly, we have a mobile response, which means if someone's a victim of a sexual assault or domestic violence crime, 2 a.m., they can call, the hospital can reach out to our helpline and request that an advocate be dispatched to the hospital if the survivor wants that. And that's really critical for someone who's just going through such a traumatic form of violence, to have someone there that's just there to support them, to advocate for what they want, and to be there with them as they're going through a very invasive sexual assault examination process. And so I think that's really important. These are the types of services that our network provides. And our role in the coalition is we work hand in hand with all of our member agencies to address any systems gaps that they are seeing as they're providing that direct support to families. So whether that is looking at policy changes or legislative changes, whether it's making sure that we're doing systems advocacy with DCYF or other entities to ensure that the response for victims of domestic violence improves, that is where we step in. That is the role of the coalition. In addition to providing training and capacity building for our membership and for the broader community so that people not only know how to identify this issue, but know where the community resources are and how to access them. Again, I want to thank Councilman Sinapi for introducing this resolution, and I'm happy to answer any questions if there are any. I tried to take notes as the comments were going around, but I hope I addressed some of the points or comments that were made.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the public? Hearing none, do I have a motion?
Favorable action.
I'm Ann Sheridan. Without a doubt, what this organization done is absolutely necessary. I think they didn't have property tax or any taxes to pay in the past because their landlord was paying the taxes. So now this year they've moved into a larger facility. The landlord has entered into an agreement where the rent is rent plus taxes, a triple net, which is what most larger places do. So this group is leasing a portion of the building on Bald Hill Road that would give them at least a $7,000 tax credit every year. Now, I think if the city council believes that this group is so valuable to the city, that the city council could budget a gift, some sort of payment to this group to keep them here. But this is an operation of law. It's not an operation of who's better, who's deserving. Our city requires every taxpaying citizens, veteran, disabled, blind, impoverished person to be the owner of the property and live in it before we give them a $400 exemption. In some instances, we require people to live in it for over 5 years. How do you explain to the people in your ward that this group, good or bad, is more important than they are and that they're allowed fewer rules? The many times over the years, the General Assembly in section 44.3.3, property subject to taxation regarding exemptions, outlines probably 24 different varies of types of organizations that can be exempted. We've had people like the schools, like LaSalle, Bayview, Mount St. Charles, who are not tax exempt because they're not for-profit, they're not non-for-profit organizations. They charge people for schools, and because of the fact that they're charging, even though their charter says they're a nonprofit for IRS purposes, they had to go to the General Assembly to get a special exemption because the government owns, they're only allowed up to 5 acres, and only if they were a free public school, which they're not. Exemptions, according to many court cases, have to be narrowly construed to the city's benefit and not to the taxpayers. This exemption is driving the city council and the city in the wrong directions. I mean, you've got the state met before the General Assembly, there's been bills that have been passed where entities like Rhode Island Hospital lease tax-exempt property to taxable entities. And the proposal has been to allow the Providence tax assessor, obviously, or any place else where Lifespan is now moving, the ability to tax these organizations to stop the encroachment that's going on. I suspect that there's others in the city of Warwick, and once you open this door, there will be no stopping it. That legislation says real and personal property, and then in the last paragraph says property that they lease. So the top line says real and personal property of this organization, and then when you finally get down to the bottom, it includes the leasing of it. I don't see how we can allow special treatment, because one special treatment is going to include the next. It's been suggested to me that there are more of these organizations in the city that are we've allowed to be exempt, that don't qualify under this section. I don't know that for true. I actually would like to find out, and I'm actually considering a Freedom of Information Act. Since I'm retired, I'm old, and I don't have much else to do. I may sit and go through all of these things just to see where we stand. I mean, I know a couple off the top of my head that are exempt to a greater degree than they should be, and should be adjusted. I could certainly afford to pay whatever property tax is going to go up over the year, but it's the spirit of that needs to be followed and not what our hearts feel. Thank you.
I'm not sure if it's okay for me to come back up, but I did want to just add one last thing. When we were in Post Road, we did have the same landlord that we have now. And the part of the property that we occupied, we did not pay tax for, and neither did our landlord. So I just want to name that because I think it's not out of the practice that for the last 24 years, that is what's been happening. We currently have a lease with the landlord here. It's a 10-year lease, and that is why we put that in there. Our lease also has a clause where we would have to cover a percentage of the taxes if they exceed a certain amount. And so that is one of the reasons why we also included that in there. So I just wanted to name that. And I think there's a difference too between, I know that there was the point made around the city of Providence and the number of nonprofits and how much the city is losing on the number of profits there. But those are really large nonprofits like Brown University and the hospital that have tons and tons of land. That is not the case for our coalition. We rent and we are in a lease right here on Post Road. We don't have plans on having multiple satellite offices across the state. And so I think there's a difference between these larger nonprofits and smaller nonprofits. And I just thought it was important to name that. Thank you. I will not come back up.
Any other questions or comments from the public? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I move favorable action, and then I welcome further discussion in the full council.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Council President, do you want to pause the committee?
Yes. It is now 7:00. We still have a number of items. I think we have another item in this committee and then a couple other items. But what I would like to do is open public properties so we can move the public hearing to the full council. Then we'll take a quick 5-minute break and then we'll start the full council meeting. We have a guest this evening and then a public comments. I mean, not public, a public hearing, and then we'll go back into committees. So at this time, if we could have the Public Properties Committee meet, and they are just going to recommend opening the public hearing, and then we will take a quick 5-minute break, and then we will start the full council meeting. Thank you.
I've been waiting for you. Who's in charge here? You are.
The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 7:01 p.m. First up, we have acceptance of the minutes from February 5, 2024. Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. We have three items on the agenda. However, we are going to pause after the first item. Item one, PCO-1-24, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick, Allen Bryan Realty Co. and Worldwide Real Estate Inc. Petitioners. This is Assessor's Plat 260, lots 38 and 39, commonly known as 0 and 211 Centerville Road. Councilman Snappy, do you have a recommendation for opening public hearing? All right. We have the request. I'll make the motion to open public hearing. Do we have a second?
Second. Sorry.
All right. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. And with that, we will temporarily adjourn the committee at 7:03 p.m.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we're just going to let everyone get set, and we're going to start the full council meeting in about 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes. So thank you.